Thompson, and I'm the associate pastor here at Foley United Methodist Church, and it is my joy to be here with you this morning to look at this 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm is it's a scripture that many of us know. It's poetry. It's powerful. It's a prayer. We hear it when we're little. We hear it when we're anxious. We hear it when we need comfort. It's been spoken at weddings and at funerals. It's a passage of scripture that is near and dear. It brings us peace in times of trouble. But it's more than that. If you're like me, sometimes you can hear the scripture and you just automatically join in. But that doesn't mean that you necessarily listen to the scripture. I think that the scripture is so much more than what we give it credit for sometimes. So over the next few weeks, that's what we're going to do. We're going to challenge each and every one of you to memorize the scripture, but not memorize it so that you know it and so that it disappears. But memorize it and take it into your heart so that it begins to guide you and lead you in how you live your life each and every day. Today we're going to start with Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning asking for you to speak through your word, asking you to open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to who it is you truly long to be for each of us. Lord, let this time of reflection be a restful, eye-opening, heartwarming story of who you long to be in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, today we're going to look at Psalm 23:1. And I have to be honest, I have struggled a lot this week trying to come up with a sermon on the verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." I mean, really, what more is there to say? The scripture is pretty bold, and it speaks for itself. It's easy to just hear the words and say, okay, I got it. So in order to come up with this sermon, I've been really diving into the scriptures, looking up the word shepherd in the Bible, splitting this verse into two different key points. The first is, the Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean? What does it mean to have a shepherd? What does it mean to be a sheep? What does it mean, what does a shepherd do? I learned a lot of stuff. I learned about bummer lambs, which I didn't even know was a real thing. But I learned about, just scripture after scripture in the Bible of God promising to be our shepherd, and that the shepherd's sole job is to provide for his flock, to take care of his flock, to provide food, water, and shelter, and make sure the flock is protected and safe. It's not like I could just go downtown Foley, find the local shepherd, ask him what he did. So I really had to put myself in the shoes of what I believe a shepherd would be. It really began to challenge the way that I look at my life. It began to challenge the way that I think my life is going. Because if a shepherd is supposed to be the one that guides and leads the flock, to be honest, I want to be the shepherd of my own life. It's easy for me to think that I know what's best, because who would know better for me than me? Why do I need somebody else showing me and guiding me and leading me where I need to be? I can figure that out on my own. I just need God when I get in trouble. I mean, one of my favorite verses probably too many times in my life I find myself being the one, because I've tried to be the shepherd my entire life, and before I know it, I get in over my head, I get lost, things don't go right, things seem to fall apart, and I call out to God. It's times like that that this passage seems to really come into play, because it's nice to have that reminder that God says, I am your shepherd. I'll take care of you. The problem is, I don't want to be the sheep, because sheep seem to just wander around. It reminds me of a story. We used to have border collies when I was growing up in Texas. We didn't have any sheep, but border collies were just incredible dogs, herders by nature. Some of the smartest dogs that I've ever been around, and they're just the most loving, friendly, energetic breed around, I think. We didn't have any sheep, but my dad had a friend in Texas who herded sheep. So he talked to the friend, and we got to take our dog Pepper out to his farm. Now, we would go out to this huge farm, and there are sheep everywhere. And he's got a couple border collies that he uses to work the flocks with. It's just incredible to watch, to see how those dogs run around and kind of guide the sheep where they need to be, where the shepherd wants them to be. It was really just fascinating to see. So he took Pepper and put her in this large round pen. I would say probably 50 feet around, just a big giant pen. And then he let in about 8 or 9 sheep and a ram. Then the gentleman stood in the middle of this pen, and he had this long rod that he would place in front of Pepper to kind of guide her which way to go around the pen, either around the pen to the right or around the pen to the left. And it was just amazing to see her natural instincts kick in. The first thing she did was just run up to this little flock of sheep and begin to kind of growl and bark and nip at their heels, and she got them going one way, and then he put the rod in front of her face and she switched directions and had the flock going the other way. But then all of a sudden, the flock just kind of stopped. And this large ram with these big giant horns turned and faced Pepper, kind of stood out from the flock, lowered its head, started kind of stomping its foot a little bit, making these funny noises. And the man explained to us that this is pretty normal whenever a new dog would come into the herd, that the dominant ram, the ram that felt like it was the one in charge, would stand up to the dog and challenge it. The man explained that this is when you would learn whether you had a dog that would be able to work the herd or not. Because it was in that moment that the dog either had to stay firm and challenge the ram, back the ram back into the herd, or the dog would back down and the ram would become dominant, and then the herd wouldn't listen to the dog anymore. It was neat to see Pepper as she crouched down on her front 2 feet, bared her teeth, growled real low, and just kind of inched toward this ram, and the ram just kind of inched backwards until it was surrounded by the sheep again. And then from that point on, the sheep did whatever Pepper wanted them to do. Whatever the man told, whichever direction the man told Pepper to go, the flock went in that direction. I mean, just the natural instincts of the dog were amazing. And to see that play out, it just struck me that that's kind of how we are with God. We look at God like we look at this passage sometimes. It's a comforting passage. It's a passage that we can turn to in times of need. And we look at God that way. That sometimes we just wait until we need Him before we truly call on Him. We're like the ram. We don't want to give up control. We want to think we're the biggest. We want to think we're the best. We want to think we're the strongest, and we're in control. So when God shows up to lead us where He knows we need to be, we have a tendency to step out of the crowd, lower our head, stomp our feet, make a couple weird noises, and challenge Him. Luckily, we have a God that won't back down. and a God that won't give up. We have a God that wants nothing more than to provide for us. He wants nothing more than to lead us to where we need to be. And he's not going to give up, no matter how much we challenge him, no matter how hard-headed we tend to be. You know, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice, and they come running when I call." I think sometimes we want a shepherd that's led by the sheep. We want to be the sheep that the shepherd comes running when we call. I think that's why this passage is more than just a comforting passage. I think this passage is something that we can begin to take hold of and live by. Because if we truly believe God is our shepherd, then we have to trust that all he longs for is to give us everything we need. All he longs for is for us to be safe, to be taken care of, to have food, water, and shelter. He wants to lead us to the best places for us. And if we begin to take hold of this passage as not just a comforting, nice, sounding piece of poetry, but if we begin to take hold of this passage as true, as what it is, as David sat there and wrote this, David was claiming, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord longs to take care of me. The Lord longs to provide for me. The Lord longs to lead me where I need to be in life." It helps us understand our relationship with God. I mean, it's really beginning to challenge the way I look at my life. I can try my best to be the shepherd of my life, but I don't have the big picture. I can't see past the other sheep that are in the flock with me. But if I trust the one who's standing over me to love me and take care of me, I can trust where he's leading me. And you can too. What will your life look like if you give up control? Give up this idea that you know what's best for you and trust God to be the shepherd of your life. How would your life change? How would you begin to see things differently then? I then looked at the second piece of this passage. This one was even harder than the shepherd piece. What does it mean to say, "I lack nothing"? I mean, I like stuff. I work hard. I work two jobs and some side jobs. Mainly because I like toys. I really like golf clubs, and I'd like a new set. I want my wife to have everything she wants. I want my boys to have nicer things than I have. I mean, I have a lot of wants in life. I mean, the society we live in tells us that that's normal. How many people do you know that are consumed with work, with money, with a desire for power or control? And that's normal. The American way tells us that's normal. I mean, the American way says you can have anything you want if you're willing to work for it. This scripture speaks in the total opposite direction of that. This scripture says, "I lack nothing." You're talking about challenging the way you think, challenging the way you live your life. If you were to claim that in your life, if you were to look at the scripture and say, "This is how I'm going to live," what does that mean for you? How does that change the way you think? What becomes less important and what becomes more important? There's a story about John Wesley that I absolutely love. John Wesley, you know, as he went on and on, he became bigger and bigger, and more money started to come in. But he made a decision to live on the amount of money he needed. Anything he earned above that amount, he gave away because he didn't need anything else. That would be difficult because my natural instinct is to always say I need more. What's interesting is what we're going through right now as a country, not just us, but the entire world. We're living in a time where there's isolation and uncertainty. We're living in a time where people are losing jobs. We're living in a time where people are having to move from full-time to part-time. I mean, me and my family, we don't go to the store whenever we want to anymore. We don't go out to eat because we don't feel like cooking anymore. We pay attention to what we're spending and not spending because we don't know how long this time of uncertainty is going to last. But to be honest, it's really challenged me to reevaluate what's important and what's not important. I mean, if I truly trust God to be my shepherd, to lead me to everything that I need, to provide for me, then this has been a great time of soul searching, seeing what we need and don't need, what we can live with and what we can live without. And to be honest, I haven't been missing anything. The toys that I like, I found out I don't need. The things that I want to add to aren't things that are needed, they're just wants. I mean, if I truly begin to claim this verse and say I lack nothing, then it really challenges the way I look at what it means to need, what it means to want. But I mean, to be fair and honest, it's easy for me to sit in a position of prosperity and comfort and talk about this verse, talk about what it means to lack nothing, because right now I don't. But I know there are people out there who are hurting, who are scared, who don't know what's going to happen over the next few weeks. There are people who don't know where their next meal is coming from. There are people that are living with friends and family because they can't afford to pay bills anymore. There are people that are having to count each and every penny and decide what bill is the most important to pay. How does this verse apply to them? How does it affect them? What can it do for them? To be honest, I believe that is when we truly begin to see the power in this verse. I mean, it's not just a mindset that we change when we begin to claim Scripture. It's a life that we change when we begin to claim Scripture. I mean, for somebody that is having to depend on others, how can they say, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing? What happens when they do? It reminds me of the story that I read about a bummer lamb. I did not know that was a real thing, but it is. A bummer lamb. It's a lamb that when it's born, either the mother rejects it, the mother dies, but this lamb is left on its own. Nothing. No one to care for it. It has nothing in the world. I think there are people that feel like that. That they feel like the world has rejected them. Has kicked them out and left them with nothing. What's amazing is it's just another sheep in the flock. But the shepherd takes special care of the bummer lamb, because the shepherd knows that it's its only chance. The bummer lamb was left to die, left on its own, but the shepherd comes in and cradles the bummer lamb, even takes it into its own house, warms it up by the fire, makes sure that it has food, makes sure that it is taken care of. That's what God wants to do for each and every one of us. And I truly believe those that find themselves lost and alone are in a position to see God be the most powerful, the most providing, and the most loving shepherd that he is. It's not that they're any different than the flock, but God knows what they need the most. It may not look like the way you expect it to. It may not look like the way the world expects it to. But if you claim God as your shepherd and you trust that you will lack nothing, it may come through the hands of others. It may come from the local food bank. It may come when you least expect it, but it will be there. And the shepherd will be there. I tried to picture what a shepherd in Israel would look like. I mean, it's not the green rolling plains that we think of. Some of it's barren rock. Try to imagine what it would be like to be in the middle of that desert area with nothing in sight. That's when we have to trust the shepherd the most. Because even though we can't see where our next meal might be coming from, even when we don't know where the next watering hole is, or we don't see any tree for shelter in sight, the shepherd knows where he's leading us. He knows how long it'll take to get there. And he's going to make sure that each and every person in his flock is cared for and provided for. That's what a shepherd does. That's what this passage does. When we claim, the Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing, then we're living a life trusting God, trusting that he will provide for and take care of us. That even when we don't see it, even when we don't know it, even when we don't know how we're going to get there, we trust that he does. So what does that mean for us? Just drop my papers everywhere. What does that mean for us? I believe it means that wherever you find yourself during this worldwide pandemic, whatever situation you find yourself in, a place of comfort or a place of distress, you can trust God. You can look at the scripture not just as a comforting poem that makes you feel better, but you can look at the scripture and trust it to be true. I think this has been a crazy last couple of weeks. And we don't know how much longer we have to go. But we do know that God will get us to the other side of it. I think we need to stop trying to be our own flock. I think we need to stop trying to be our own shepherd. I think we need to merge with the one flock that has the one good shepherd. 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For you are continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." What's stopping you from returning? Are you the ram that doesn't want to give up control? Are you doing everything you can to try to back down the shepherd who wants to watch over you? Maybe it's time to return to the flock. Maybe it's time to let him have control. My other one is John 10:16. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. How many times do we try to keep people from sharing in the life we have? Maybe there's people in your life that you know that are hurting, that are lost, that need some help. What would it look like if you quit telling them what they ought to be doing? And you start living in one flock with them. And we all listen to the same shepherd. I think there's a lot of times God uses the flock to care for each and every part of it. And he longs for us to be a part of that one flock. He wants us to know his voice. He wants us to hear his voice. Maybe this next few weeks as we go through Psalm 23 is your opportunity to relearn what his voice sounds like. Maybe it's your opportunity to begin to challenge the way you look at life and you allow him to be the good shepherd so that you will lack nothing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your desire to lead and guide us. Lord, we know that all you long to do is to take care of us, to lead us to where we need to be, to provide for us food, shelter, and water. Lord, help us to quit struggling. Help us to quit being the ram that wants to push you away. Lord, let us see this passage in a new light as an instruction and guide on how to live, listening to your voice. In Jesus' name.